Michelle Bachmann said, this is the last election. Remember when the Pope said, this is the last Christmas? We're seeing that a lot in the news. The leaders to pundits are saying that this is the end.
Well, a lot
all
of that's
hype,
good
though, and normal. Right? Yeah, it is. One thing that might be coming to an end is aerial spraying for the Zika virus in Miami.
Yeah, well,
as well as GMO mosquitoes, as the citizens of Florida are voicing and soon to vote on their concerns of GMO mosquitoes being released into the wilderness to kill the other mosquitoes, as well as Zika spraying. Miami Beach city leaders are at odds with a scheduled aerial spraying for insecticide nailed over a 1.5 square mile infection zone.
Uh-huh. And JD, by the way, is at ground zero for this Zika spray. His wife got into their car, and it was covered in nothing but this pesticide dust. Say some prayers, you know. I mean, seriously, have we lost our flip?
Like parking under a tree.
Honest to goodness, I was monitoring the tweets. Is that what you call them?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the postings on a conservative website. And these idiots there. But that's the only way I know how to describe them. Saying, it's all right. Embrace it. Go ahead and run through the cloud. It's not going to hurt you. It's kind of like Ann Coulter saying, run to the radiation. Run to the radiation. It's good for you. Yeah, yeah. You know about the uranium. I'm sorry if I use that term. If I use it inappropriately, I apologize, but I don't know how else to describe Joe, tell me, what makes it okay? Now, I'm not some guy that believes in global warming I understand we need to have a defense or a strong offense against a potential threat, meaning a virus or some sort of epidemic. But what I don't get, and I really don't get this, is how people can look at things like what Monsanto does, the Roundup and all this, and say it's okay when the studies have proven, I guess, or I allegedly, I'm trying to think of how many qualifiers I should use here, given the lawfare environment that there is out there. To say it's bad for you, it can cause, but can Zika actually cause microencephalopathy? Yeah, small heads on kids.
That's one of the questions. In Florida, a bill put forward to the Senate. The Senate rejects $1.1 billion Zika funding bill. $1.1 billion Zika funding bill that would bring critically needed federal money to Florida has failed once again, with Tuesday evening's third vote failing 52-46. Congress spent Tuesday afternoon debating the bill, with members back to work after the 7-week vacation.
Must be nice. Yeah, by the way, folks, we just got done with our 6-week vacation, 1 week shy of the Congress.
They teachers? In that time, more than 50 homegrown cases of Zika have been confirmed in Florida, the majority in Miami-Dade County. Another 7, they say, homegrown cases were reported Tuesday. But they say that they are not going to pass the bill, and you got to wonder why. What do they know that we don't know, or what's going on with this Zika virus?
Yeah,
Ebola scare of 2015.
Yep,
we've had the avian bird flu scares in the past, and we've seen these come and go. You know, these right on the edge of quarantine level craziness with infections, diseases, and whatnot, and the cures. Do you remember now, maybe it was about a year ago, when the first mention of the Zika virus, and everybody said, oh, there's no way to fight this because we don't know what it even is.
Right.
Now we see
paraphrasing, of course, but yeah.
GMO mosquitoes, we see this pesticide spraying, and from what I see, they might soon have a vaccine. Yeah.
And
how is that even possible? I just don't understand. I mean, it's so...
Well, in Africa, they were using this virus, the potential for birth defects, as a authorization for abortion. And they had a ship out in international waters. They would boat the women, pregnant women in Africa out to this ship. And of course, they would do the abortions, perform the abortions, and then send the women back. This made George Soros and his spawn of Soros giddy with excitement. Okay, and certainly Hillary Rodham, the Yak Clinton, giddy with excitement because she, of course, just worships at the altar of Margaret Sanger, who's a eugenics, you know, let's kill all the blacks, basically. And that's her claim to fame.
There was no basically, that was it.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so this is what we're seeing today. This Zika thing, I believe it's, you know, it's interesting because, remember back in the 60s, Dr. Mary Sherman, Ochner in New Orleans, this around the time Lee Harvey Oswald was reportedly in New Orleans working with, David Ferry and Dr. Ochner, and others. They were creating this cancer virus. And this made its way, or at least parts of this made its way into the SV40 polio vaccine that was covered up by our government at the time. So is there precedent for this? And even in the 80s with the AIDS virus / epidemic, was this manufactured? Was this an artifact of our own government? And I know people will be out there and say, oh, come on, you're just a real moron for even suggesting that. Well, go back to the SV40 polio, SV40 poisonings, you know, by SV40, the virus, into the polio vaccinations. That's on record. That's proven. And yet our government said, okay, no problem. We'll just give it, we just won't tell. Shh. And that led to an epidemic of cancer. And don't forget Jack Ruby at the time, who was at the epicenter of some of this, was diagnosed with cancer. And 28 days later, after the diagnosis, he was dead. It's 4 weeks. It's a heck of a fast-moving cancer. And he had claimed at the time that he was injected with the cancer virus. So apply this to Zika and what we're seeing today. Have they changed their playbook at all? I don't think so. I don't think so, but this plays right into the hands of the globalists. Go ahead.
No, that's interesting. I never knew that about Jack Ruby.
Yeah, yeah. That's
was he in jail? Obviously, he was,
yeah, he was in jail.
Prison.
Yeah, he was in jail, and he had begged the Warren Commission. He said, "Bring me back to Washington. I can't talk here. Bring me back to Washington. I'll tell you everything I know." And Ruby, I mean, there's so much evidence to show that particular decapitation of American government back in November of 63. Was part of this. We're still seeing the ripples from that, and that maybe is the segment past its prologue. But history has really given us insight into what's taking place today. Now,
I want to just touch on this story, and Eric, I should have sent you this one picture clip from the story. Black Lives Matter protesters shut down London airport. 7 people were arrested.
Yep.
None of them black. Okay. That's the first part. Now this gets stranger.
They felt black that day.
Climate change is racist. Black Lives Matter shut down London City Airport with protests. What happened this morning was 7 men stormed a runway at London City's airport in the UK with signs saying, racist, climate crisis, and Black Lives Matter. 7 people were arrested as protesters stormed the East London airport, causing hundreds of flights to be disrupted. The activist group said the demonstrations were to raise awareness to the UK's environmental impact of black people locally and globally. They said black people in Britain were 28% more likely to be exposed to air pollution than their white counterparts, adding black people are the first to die, not the first to fly.
Breathe it in, baby.
Racist climate crisis. Police were alerted at 5:48 a.m. to reports of people on the runway. What they did is they put the signs around them and they lay down on the middle of the tarmac.
Did you ever get run over by a 747? I mean, really, what does that do? That's going to leave a mark, right? Go ahead.
The witness says they got onto the runway using a rubber dinghy from the dock, whatever that means.
Yeah,
but think about this. Seven white people break into an airport, a very busy airport, one of the world's busiest, lay on a tarmac,
stop
hundreds of flights.
I'll bet you if they would have just kept going and treated them as nothing more than like a speed bump on the runway, that wouldn't happen again.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Or if they pass, okay, maybe that's too harsh. Just pass over them with a 747. Hopefully they don't get sucked in the engine. But if they don't, they're going to need some earmuffs or some, you know, hearing treatment after that, along with some PTSD treatment as well.
I guess they weren't all white. There, I see one African American girl. But still, what does this come to? In London, how much is George Soros paying these people?
I don't know. You know, Soros never tendered us any offers, made us any offers. So we must be doing something right, apparently. But Soros and the spawn of Soros, who lives in Long Island, or on Long Island, I should say, very active. And you know, but see, here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see the emails of the people behind Soros. Because don't tell me Soros is the CEO of the globalists. He's not. The families behind this are the true Luciferian elite. Soros just happens to be the whipping boy that they sent out. And, you know, he's the guy that's making the money, him and the spawn. But the people behind Soros are the true Luciferian elite who will drink the blood. Yes, they will drink human blood. Yeah. I understand how perverted all of this is. Go to these, you know, these satanic things, ceremonies. And by the way, September is really a critical month. I just want to digress here a moment, Joe. You know, I've had the privilege of working with, hopefully I'm not speaking out of school here, working with Russ Dizdar. Folks, Russ Dizdar is a real deal. I mean, he works with law enforcement. He works with a lot of, he works on satanic crimes. And people will tell you, the FBI will tell you, the Department of Justice will tell you, look, we don't have any statistics on satanic ritual abuse, satanic crimes, because it doesn't exist. You see, go back to the 80s. It was just this big, big BS thing where children were asked leading questions and made up all of the answers and made it sound like they were victims in this satanic abuse ring. Well, let me tell you something. That's just total hogwash. And September is a very occult month. October, a very occult month. Some very extremely important dates for in Satanism. But see, the what's behind all of this, and what few people talk about, is the level of satanic worship that goes on at the highest levels within our government by globalists, and also external to our government. But the ceremonies, the blood drinking, the sacrifices, you might say, well, our sacrifices, that's crazy talk. There is no human sacrifices. Come on. You're nuts. Yes, there are. And there is sex trafficking at the highest levels. And there is abuse. And there is ritual abuse. And you just don't want to know what there is out there, because it would make your skin crawl. But count on it. It's there. And just ask Russ Dizdar. All right.
Yeah, so the, again, Black Lives Matter shutting down a runway in London. This is an interesting article, as this is one of the first times I've heard Trump talk about the Fed. Trump says the U.S. interest rates must change as Fed weighs rate hike. He said that the Federal Reserve continues to look at the possibility of negative interest rates. Well, Donald Trump, the Republican presidential nominee, has accused the Federal Reserve of manipulation, including the current president, saying that the U.S. Central Bank has created a false economy and that interest rates should change. They're keeping the rates down so that everything else doesn't go down, Trump said in response to a reporter's question to address a potential rate hike by the Federal Reserve in September. We have a very false economy, he said. And he's right. Yep. And he went in and he tied the manipulation to the Federal Reserve and went even further to point out some of Fed Chair Janet Yellen's policies. As last month, the U.S. Central Bank was getting closer to raising interest rates, possibly as early as this month. As they say, the Fed says they see the economy as close to meeting its goals of maximum employment and stable prices.
Boy, if that doesn't send a shudder through everyone listening to this, I don't know what will. Obviously, we're built on a house of cards. Just listen to the top economists, not on the mainstream media, but the people who really know what's going on. This is a giant Ponzi scheme where the Federal Reserve is the agent of the globalists, folks. I mean, and if you think, for example, that we're at maximum employment, or maximum employment where we're going to be relative to where we were, and understand what I'm saying here, then, and if you're happy with things, if you're just tickled, delighted to death with the way things are today,
well, you know, some people,
how'd you do it?
Some people
inside
are
inside or what?
But I don't know how. Some people are, though. Maybe they haven't been paying attention for a long time.
Well, yeah, and it really doesn't matter, because the closer we get to this election, and I think that people are
63 days, I think.
Right. And we had said a long time ago that this was going to be, and remember Pastor Langford being on our program a couple of years ago, saying the fall of 2016, I could feel a big change, something bad. I got a bad, my spirit is troubled over the fall of 2016. And this goes back to the Jubilee, the Shemitah, all of this, the stuff that Jonathan Cahn spoke about, the stuff that Pastor Langford spoke about. And by the way, if you haven't seen it on Hagman and Hagman.com, or Hagman Report, I'm sorry, .com, Steve Quayle, Pastor David Langford on the Jim Baker Show. If you haven't watched that clip, that video of Jim Baker featuring Steve Quayle and Pastor David Langford, you got to do it. You got to watch it. Wow. I mean, that was a fabulous show.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
And I spoke with both of them. After they did that, I spoke with Steve Quayle and I spoke with Pastor Langford, and we were talking about Jim Baker and about the events there and the people there, and folks, I'll just say that the information that Steve gave out, as well as Pastor Langford gave out, the first episode is up. So just go to HagmanReport.com there, and you'll find the link to Jim Baker Show. But it would do you good to watch it, because, again, going back to what Pastor Langford said two years ago on this program, where things were not going to be good. I mean, we are going to have issues in the fall of 2016. Jonathan Cahn, people have really they've made some errors in their understanding of what Cahn was saying and what others were saying about the Jubilee and about the blood moons and about the signs in the heavens. Look.
Yeah, people attributed, immediate.
Right.
Results or godly movement to the specific, from the blood moon to
Jubilee. Yeah.
But if you look at at history, I was even reading today that, 6 weeks after one of the Jubilees, God brought about judgment. I was reading a commentary and it went through dates and they had charts and whatnot, but it was just this one instance, 6 weeks after a Jubilee year, there was judgment brought about on part of the land. Things don't always happen, as the celestial signs in the sky happen, and as,
people have this weird idea that they've got they're going to put God in a box.
Date setting.
And they've got to set dates, and they've got to have this precise calculation, and God is probably laughing, okay? Saying, yeah, okay. Yeah, keep at it. But what Cahn did, and what Rabbi Cahn did, and Jonathan Cahn, and he's come back on our show. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Pastor Langford has said, look, through prayer, through evaluation, analysis of events, and a number of things, 2016 fall, this time that we're in right now, is he's spiritually troubled by everything. And of course, Rabbi Cahn talking about the Shemitah, the mystery of the Shemitah and such, there's the final chapters on this have not been written. So to dismiss that, it would be like talking about Jade Helm and saying, well, see, nothing happened. Well, what are you, dense? Yeah, that's right. Nothing happened with Jade Helm. just a record number of assets being moved, military assets all across the United States, open drills, urban drills and such. In addition to mapping the human domain, you have got a, you know, I'm sorry, but if you're of the opinion that nothing happened, well, then you're not looking close enough. Your analysis is not deep enough. You are about an inch deep, if that, and maybe, you know, a foot wide. Your analysis is hobbled only by your inability to really analyze what's really taking place. That's with the entirety of all of this. And if you have any questions, just go to the Bible itself, and you can see right there that, you know, what we're talking about. All right.
And just a quick update on Jonathan Kahn.
Yep.
I'm just reading my email here, and he did get back to us over the weekend, and possibly next Tuesday, the 13th, the first 2 hours. Got to get a double confirmation. Just sent that back to him saying that was good. Well, so if he wants that day still open, the 13th he'll be on. But he's coming out with a new book, and he is looking to come back on the show, not only to talk about the book, but to talk about other important news and current events, as he's rolling out a whole new, I don't even know what to call it. He's got a whole lot of new material that he wants to go through with our audience.
And Jonathan Kahn is just a wonderful. We met him in Orlando, or I think it was Orlando, mm-hmm. right?
And, Orlando in 2015.
And we had the chance to sit down and talk with him off camera and just pick his brain a little bit. Wow. All right. I mean, he's just a wonderful man. We have a lot of respect for him and really pay attention to him. By the way, another scheduling note. We had scheduled for this Wednesday Dick Morris to come on for 35 minutes to talk about his new book, Amerigeddon. That invitation has been rescinded. That's right. It's rescinded. You see, what happens is this. I'm sorry. You play with our schedule, or you string us along to, and it becomes an issue where we have to bend over for your scheduling issues or your scheduling inability to get your schedule together. We're not going to do that. And I was contemplating a few things about that. See, Dick Morris has a new book out called Armageddon.
Armageddon is the movie by...
But anyway, you see, I was going to ask him two questions at the end of the interview that he could not answer. Think about that for a minute. You see, there were two questions that I was going to ask him that... I'm not going to tell you the questions, but I can tell you this. He could not answer. I know he couldn't answer. Or if he did answer with the truth, I don't even know if he could even do that, because that would reveal things. But anyway, the bottom line is, I have a sense that got out. And that's the reason why we're not going to see him Wednesday or ever.
Way to go. I'm kidding.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I accept that.
It's perfectly fine.
But I accept that with the, you know, hang on a minute. Hang on. And that's convenient for me to go. This is Hillary Clinton. Hang on a second. Homa, give me a lozenge. The yak is hacking. The hacking yak. All right.
Campus, cautiously trained freshmen against subtle insults and microaggression. This is one of your favorite topics.
Microaggression. See,
a freshman tentatively raises her hand and takes the microphone, and she asks a weird question. The exchange was included in a presentation. Recently arriving first-year students were focusing on subtle parts of microaggression, a new campus vocabulary that also includes the word safe spaces and trigger warnings. Microaggressions, Mrs. Marlowe said, are comments, snubs, or insults that communicate derogatory or negative messages that might not be intended to cause harm, but are targeted at people based on their membership in a marginalized group.
So if you're watching this live on YouTube, which you should be, as well as listening to this on Global Star Radio.
Better.
Well, wait a second. Can I show the audience an exaggerated version of a micro expression? Okay. If you've ever law enforcement cops, officer, detectives out there, you know what I'm talking about, right? You gotta watch very carefully. For example, people have tell. Everyone has a tell. You think you don't, but you do. But micro expressions are little signs in your face, a little twitches here or there, kind of like. I see you got to be watching that live. Okay, that's an exaggeration of a micro expression. Kind of like Hillary, you know, with the balloons or the coffee. Yeah, sorry. Maybe that was mean. I don't know. Go ahead, Joe.
What's happening now is money from different programs of college institutions are now being reallocated for a new trend in colleges, some colleges, which are these social justice warriors, the snowflake generation, going over, then it explains here in this article, it says, you know, once devoted to ice cream socials, tutorials on campus technology systems, and advice on choosing classes, orientation for new students is changing significantly with the renewed urgency this year on racial tensions and racial and ethnic tensions on campuses, as well as an onslaught of sexual assault complaints. So what are they doing? They're adding these new diversity orientation microaggression safe spaces seminars to freshman college students taking tours on campus.
Wait, is it time for a micro expression or
it's time for a break?
Time for a break. All right.
It's time for a yak. We'll be right back, folks, right after these short messages. Stay with us.
Some blues that Eric mixed up with who? Just Eric? Just you. You gotta love that, right? You getting into it, guys and ladies? I think so. Blues. Hagman and Hagman Report. That's where you're tuned in right here on the Global Star Radio Network. I want to thank Todd for all of his graciousness, and I mean that. What a great job he does. Global Star Radio Network, it's the place to be. And of course, we simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. Kudos to them as well. And YouTube Live. By the way, we're under attack with YouTube Live. We're being censored. Because we cannot say homosexuality is a sin. There's sodomites engaged in homosexual marriage. Oh, no, we can't say that. Because, would you believe this? Come here. Let me tell you a secret. Closer. You see, I'm going to tell you something. You know who a lot of our complainants are on YouTube? Other radio shows and Christians. Yeah, Christians. We're being fragged, you see? We're being fragged from within. Oh, with friends like that, you don't need enemies. Oh, yeah. So I'll say this. We appreciate the support from our listeners, because we have big things planned, and things like more $10,000 suit. I misspoke. Time for a good cough. We have big things planned. We have equipment to buy that we can actually use, or the equipment that we're going to use to reach out and to upgrade what we already have, so we can reach more people, so we can actually bring Pastor Langford on and others to preach more and more effectively in ways that we only a year ago could dream of. But you see, YouTube, for example, we have to get away from, and I hate ads. I just dislike ads. I do. But it's unfortunate because everything you see around here, everything we do costs money. And we are tight with money. Oh, are we tight with money? I mean, we attempt to be good stewards with money. Okay. We don't buy $5 cups of coffee. Once in a while, we'll maybe treat ourselves to that. But as a rule, no. We don't drive, big fancy cars or live in mansions or anything like that. No, what we try to do is do our best with what we've been allotted. And this, I'm just saying that to you. It's because if you've contributed to our show, thank you. Thank you. Many people have bought things on our Hagman Report store, which most people don't even know exists. And they say, my goodness, it's overpriced, everything. Well, you know what? Yeah. Because it's a good idea. For example, this coffee mug, just to give you an example, kind of back room picture here. This coffee mug, you know how much it costs us? I mean, we made sure it's the best, made in America. It weighs 6 pounds. It's just great. But the shipping on that is more than the mug.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
It's kind of backwards.
But regardless, it's helping us. But we have to get away from the ad stuff with YouTube. You understand, it's going, this is one way. For example, we mentioned homosexual sodomite marriage on YouTube. Or how the Muslims cut off the heads of Christian children, or how the Muslims rape Christian women in the Middle East. Or if we talk against the influx of these criminal Muslim, this criminal Muslim army terrorists that are infiltrating the United States. Any of those topics. Oh, no, you can't talk about that. And if you do, we are going to penalize you monetarily. And see, that's how it starts. And then it starts, then it moves from that to we're going to criminalize your speech. I was told that a couple of our shows were banned in a couple of foreign countries because they violated their hate speech laws. All right. That's coming more and more. You see, the only Dave Dobmeier, coach, America's coach, the only people who hate, tell me what this quote is, Joe. The people, the truth, come on.
I don't remember. The only people who hate, I don't know. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. Folks, you know what I'm talking about. Those who hate or those who speak the truth are, oh, man. You get where I'm going. Anyway. Truth is, coach, call up and give me only those who hate the truth or hate speech. I'm not going to do this. You know what? I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry. I'm spent.
Oh,
Eric's over there going, listen to him.
Let's see.
You mic up those who. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, you see, we are under attack here, and the very people, and you think the landscape of talk radio, the landscape of the alternative media is changing. And it's changing to such an extent where you will see the people who, the biggest snipers, are Christians themselves. And maybe that you found this in your church or in your family, your own family. Satan's is the accuser of the brethren, but some people have taken it upon themselves to be the accuser of the brethren. Well, we're not perfect by any means, but they're using that as warfare, as the means to censor us, and not only censor us, but to penalize us.
Yeah, I know an Obama quote, the only people who hate the truth are those who have something to hide.
Yeah, right. Barry. All right. So, don't forget about the TPP as well. I want to bring this out too.
Coach Dave just
Coach Dave.
In.
Thanks, Coach. America's Coach. Gotta love America's Coach.
Truth sounds like hate to those
who hate the truth.
To those who want the truth. Right. Let me open this up.
See, we can't even do that right.
And the only reason I caught that is because I left my sound on my phone on.
Coach, God bless you, brother. Man, you talk about a guy, past the salt. I mean, his ministries.
The truth sounds like hate speech to those who hate the truth.
There you go. Thank you for.
Thanks, Coach.
Wow. That only took 10 minutes. That was pain. That was a painful 10 minutes, folks. Ooh.
Hey, we had a long weekend. You got to give us some time to.
Yeah, while people were barbecuing and stuff, I could smell it in the office. I could smell barbecue in the office from neighbors or whatever, but.
I cooked a big meal yesterday.
Yeah.
Only for my wife and my mom.
I'm looking around. I'm the only one in the office. I'm thinking, well, thanks, guys. You know, I was looking everywhere for Eric. I was looking for Joe.
We barely showed up today. I read an article. It's funny. It's funny how these things pop up after holidays, three-day weekends, and breaks. There was an article out of the Daily Mail, one of the London, or the UK's internet, popular internet sites that said
you can do it.
Health reasons against a four-day week, three-day weekend. And it listed all these reasons why it's such a bad idea and how it can, you know, basically you'll die if that's the way it was.
What, if you take an extra day for the weekend?
Yeah, if you had a four-day week and a three-day weekend instead of a five-day week and a two-day
right.
weekend.
Well, whatever is the most productive, and I do believe at this late hour, folks, that all of us need to be putting in overtime. And you know, thank you, Coach Dave Dobmeier. God, I love that man. He is America's coach. Coach, we have to get you back on to talk about everything you're doing. He's out there taking the fight to the streets, petitioning, you know, I mean, standing there, bringing women that are otherwise ready to abort or kill their unborn. And saving them, saving the children, he and his team. What a worthy cause. PTSalt.com, PTSalt.com, Salt Light Brigade as well. But Coach Dave Dobmeier, good, great friend of the program. But you know, yeah, it's not time to worry about taking days off. It's time to double time now. Now we need double time. I want to mention this as well. This is important. This is flying under the radar. You want a testament to how we are being sold out. Not that you need one, right? By the conservatives, small c in government. The House conservatives and Speaker Paul Ryan, folks, are on a collision course this fall over demands to impeach the IRS commissioner. You remember Lois Lerner. You remember John Kosecan. Yeah, John Koskinen. Yeah, that's how you pronounce his name. Well, you see, members of the hardline House Freedom Caucus. Now, members of the House Freedom Caucus have been pressuring and pressing for a vote on the matter for months and intend to force a vote if the leadership won't schedule one. This is an end around the globalists in our Congress. Ryan's leadership team, they've been decidedly reluctant to hold an impeachment vote. You know why? Because they don't have. I can't say that because I understood that this the C word in relation to testosterone. You know, low hanging fruit is a swear word in Texas or Mexico. Same difference, right? A Freudian slip there. So they don't have the stones. They don't want to cause ripples, right? Well, Ryan, Paul Ryan, shame on you. This past week, Kevin McCarthy from California, a Republican no less, released an agenda for September that did not include one, meaning an impeachment vote. Why? No stones. No stones. The stones shriveled up, went away. Seriously. Ryan and other GOP lawmakers are infighting right now. Those who want the impeachment of the head of the IRS and those who don't. But how far bent over do the American people have to be by the IRS? How far bent over? Can you just envision this in your head? Make a mental picture of this. No, maybe not. No, don't do that. I retract that. the House only voted once more than 100 years ago to impeach a cabinet member, but there is precedent there. But how much damage does the IRS have to do to conservative groups or to those people who are trying to stop the wholesale murder of the unborn, those people who are trying to get the truth out there, those people who are trying to do the right thing morally and spiritually? How much more do we have to take? And Paul Ryan stands up there, and those who worship at the altar of Paul Ryan, or those who worship at the altar of these eggheads up there who say, well, you know, pat you on the back one day, say, we're on your side, we're conservatives, we are, yeah. No, they're not. They're globalists in sheep's clothing, or in conservatives' clothing. You know,
the same people that you have, I mean, go ahead.
No, I mean, Ryan told reporters back in July that he and many other Republican lawmakers hadn't been focused on the impeachment issue, and that they were going to kind of table that whole thing. Okay, so what he's saying is we really don't care about about law, and we're siding with the Obama regime on this. We're going to give the head of the IRS, along with Lois Lerner, a pass. Where in the hell? Where have our laws gone? We are living in a completely lawless society in this country. The IRS operates with impunity. You've got the executive branch running roughshod over the Constitution with impunity. You've got the Justice Department, the Lynch holder, and I'll throw in Hillary and Obama, Justice Department running roughshod over everything. You have a complaint. You see, on the local level, if you're a police officer and you make an arrest, what happens is the case goes to district attorney. Now, in some states and in some cases, there's a grand jury, you know, movement there, right? You may go to the grand jury for an indictment. But in the normal course of events, you make an arrest, take it to the district attorney. The district attorney looks at it and says, okay, you have a case. The district attorney then prosecutes, and then you, as the detective, sit second chair in the courtroom, and the case is prosecuted. The perpetrators are brought to justice, or justice brought to the perpetrators through a judge who is impartial, or supposedly so, just watching out for the rule of law, and a jury, if warranted or if requested or if applicable, decides that person's fate. Well, you take that whole process and you throw it out the window, especially at the level of the department, or the Lynch level, especially at that level. It's gone. Because people like Ryan and the so-called conservatives, backed by the big talkers who had this love affair with these people. Oh, don't worry, right? You know, don't worry. We'll vote them in, then things will change. Really? How's that working out for you? The big talkers behind the microphones and the stuffed shirts and the panels. Yeah. Talk about decorum and gravitas, right? There is none. Just as there is no legal form here. So if you were a police officer and you make an arrest, it's a good arrest, you take it to the DA and the DA takes it to the judge and the judge says, well, we're just going to, or you go to the DA and the DA says, no, I'm sorry, we can't prosecute. But Madam DA or Mr. DA, we got this guy and he broke the law. He committed a misdemeanor, a felony. Sorry, we're not going to prosecute. Well, that's what's happening on a larger scale with Hillary and with every single person inside the Beltway. And as, again, to quote Michael Savage, these ice cream lickers out there, the snowflakes, really, the metrosexuals. You know,
that's what they were called a decade ago.
All right.
I wouldn't even
All right.
I wouldn't even insult a metrosexual with the term.
Well, that's pretty bad.
Snowflake, because you have one person who cares about their, you know, if they're manicured and trimmed, their hygiene, their appearance, versus somebody who is given a, receives a full blown medical meltdown when they hear a certain
I thought you
word.
Were treading some. I was in my mind when you started that sentence. My mind went elsewhere, and thank you for not going.
I don't even know where you were thinking.
Yeah, well, Eric was chuckling over there. The tech, Eric the tech, was laughing, and he knew right where I was headed. And I know you. Hey, you out there listening, you know too. Don't play dumb. All right.
We got a little bit before the break. Let's switch gears here. We have two pieces of information dealing with Iran. One, there is and has been a new close call with the Navy as another seven Iranian boats harass another U.S. Navy patrol coastal ship in the Persian Gulf. Remember a few months back, there was a missile fired within what was 100 feet of a U.S. Plane, I believe, from an Iran naval cruiser. Well, now, you have a U.S. Navy patrol ship was harassed by seven Iranian vessels on Sunday and narrowly avoided colliding with one in the latest string of incidents happening in the Persian Gulf.
Stored in Davy Jones' locker, all of them.
Seven Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Navy fast inshore attack craft approached the USS Firebolt while it was operating in international waters in the central Persian Gulf on September 4th, defense officials told the USNI News. Three of them maneuvered close to the Firebolt, mirroring the ship's course and speed at a distance of about 500 yards for 8 minutes before leaving. The U.S. ship and the Iranian IAC came within 100 yards of one another, the defense official said. Now, this is not the first time that Iranian and U.S. ships or military branches have had close calls. This is several times that this has happened since 2007, twice this year.
Well, what was it? The 400K wasn't, or 400 million wasn't enough for y'all, right?
And it wasn't. You know,
see, Valjer,
the Iranian asset
in the executive branch. I mean, think about that. Coach and Mrs. Coach, I mean, I'm vibrating here. I mean, I just want to vibrate right off my chair. Really, I mean, think about this. You got Valerie Jarrett inside the West Wing of the Oval Office. You've got this crazy deal, $400 million,
and John Kerry in the State Department.
And
now,
John
he's
Kerry,
married.
Yes. Yep, yep.
His son.
You're talking about the son.
Okay, yeah. He's related to the heads of state of Iran.
Right. His son or stepson, married or stepdaughter, whatever, through marriage.
Yes,
right. It's the Iranian deal. So there, the globalist, the level of incestuous activity at the globalist level, including but not limited to John Kerry. But then you go back to Hillary Clinton and her ties, and even go back to now go back a few, a couple of decades when Bill Clinton was in office. And Hillary, you know, Hillary the Yak was the co-president. Of course, you had this relationship where a lot of our technology was given over to the Chinese. All right. Now, why am I mentioning this? Because China, now China has risen technologically speaking to the level where they have, because of that handoff of technology, they have overlapped in terms of their interest with Russia and Western Europe, or Eastern Europe, that is, Western Europe, I suppose, or whatever, Syria in particular, where we are now being pitted against the Chinese and the Russians.
No, I mean, it is
laughable to see that the absolute sellout of our country and the secrets of our country by the Clintons, this is not the party. This is not Republicans or versus Democrats. This is the uniparty of the globalists, the Paul Ryans, the Newt Gingriches, the very same people who are the darlings of the Republican Party, and their cheerleaders like Carl. My goodness, I can't believe I ate that whole thing, Rove. Why'd I say that? Where'd that come from? It kind of has mysterious origins, like the yak. Carl Doughboy Rove. I mean, you know, the allegiances of these people to sell us out. It's no longer, and it hasn't been for a long time, about parties. And even labels, you know, small C conservative, big C conservative, it's no longer about labels, because labels don't make a doggone bit of difference. They're all sellouts. And the only other thing I want to say to this, because all of this, you see these, you know, close in, document camera. Oh, wait, we don't have one of those. But if we did have a document camera, we could. Just call 1-800-PITCH-IN and go ahead and... We're giving away free tote bags. PBS drive. I'm sorry. If you could see this right here, I don't even know where I was going with that. Now I'm so far out in left field, but all of this is this, all of this news, all of these headlines, all of the various components to what we're seeing, it's all coming together right now. In all seriousness, Joe, in all seriousness, and Eric, in all seriousness, and folks, in all seriousness, we better start getting our act together, and we better start showing up and playing our position, show up in force, because we can win on the numbers. Coach Dave says that all the time. Play your position. And by the way, I want him to coach my team. He coaches. Coach Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have the, you know, how teams have like a, especially if you're in a Catholic school, and don't shoot me for saying that, but you know, you've got a, like a headmaster or priest who kind of stands over you. That's Pastor Langford. He's like that, you know. But we need to show up. We need to play our positions. We need to read our own email. We need to read our own mail. We need to read. We need to start doing whatever we need to do, but with an eye on the ultimate prize. And that is, you know, JD said something to me today, and I don't even think he realized what he said. You know, we were talking about Black Lives Matter and then White Lives Matter. But he said something very quickly. And again, I'm not even sure if you realize this. It's eternal lives that matter. It's our eternal lives that matter. I thought of that. And I thought, wow. Our eternal lives matter. Eternal lives matter. Everything else is just nothing. It's just trite. It's bogus. Eternal lives matter. I'm done. I'm out of here. Stan Dale is coming up to bring some sanity to this.
Yes, he is. Standeo, go to standeo.com. On the right-hand side of the page, on the right of the microphone, is the Show Images button. You click that link there, you can follow along with the images Stan put up on his website that coincide with the story he talks about here on the Hagman and Hagman Report, which he is a guest of each and every Tuesday night in the third and final hour, and he will be with us after this short break, and again, for the rest of the week. Tomorrow, we have open lines and news and information. Thursday, Paul McGuire will be our guest. Friday, Dr. Ted Rohrer will be with us.
And if we can wrassle Coach Dave, we can get him on, too.